Will you turn to Revelation chapter 8, please? Revelation chapter 8, which begins the seven trumpet judgments. We'll take the seven trumpets as answering the question, what is God doing? Particularly in a world where it looks like he's not doing anything. What is God doing? Marilyn and I got the Saturday of the edition of the Free Press yesterday. We do that often. Yesterday, there was a lot of bad news. They work hard to have positive stories in the Free Press. It's not like always like it was yesterday, but yesterday it was worse than usual. So, what is God doing? Is he interacting with that world at all? What explains the world we live in? It's messed up. It's hard to trust God. It's hard to trust God. What's he doing? So, God gave this revelation to Christ to give to John to answer questions like that for first century churches, seven first century churches. They had the same kind of questions for the same kind of reasons. And the answers of Revelation are the same for us as they were for them. So that's how we're going to look at this. So what is God doing? The seven trumpets will tell us quite a bit, but it basically boils down to three things. One, prayer. God is answering prayers. Big time. Two, plagues. Like Israel and Egypt, he's using plagues to rescue us and take us to the promised land. Three, covenant. He's the covenant God, and by answering prayers and leading us into the promised land, he's showing that he's a God that binds himself to his people and is faithful to his promises. A revelation is really trying to encourage people. The goal is not that we figure out what's going to happen, my brothers and sisters. The thing is that God's people in a chaotic world need some kind of encouragement about what's going on. And so basically the seven trumpets take us from the whole time between the two comings of Christ. This worked well in the first century, and it works well for us. Before we get to the actual trumpets specifically, in a broader way, I want to say that the plagues of the trumpets, the judgments, are symbolic. Revelation, all the way through, gives us heavenly symbols to explain what's happening on earth. The symbol is not a code. It gives us the true meaning of what is happening on earth. So the heavenly symbol for a church is a golden lampstand. A church doesn't look like a golden lampstand. It's a bunch of people. We are a gathering of people. That's what we look like, and that's what we are. But from God's side of things, we are a golden lampstand, having light and life from God in us. So in the case of lampstands, we are told what is the earthly reality that the lampstand represents. It's a local church. So we get that. But often in Revelation, we're not told. We're just not told what the earthly reality is. Here's another one where we are told. In Revelation 13, John sees a beast come out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. It's a horrible mix of leopard and bear and lion. That's the heavenly symbol. In the spiritual world, that's what the beast is. That's the true nature of the beast. That's an important picture. On earth, he's a man. He's a man who rules a powerful empire that attacks believers. He doesn't look anything like that. He does not come out of the sea. He does not look like that monster. He's a man who rules a powerful empire, but he's always called the beast. So the heavenly symbol tells us the true nature of what's going on, but behind the earthly reality. So the trumpets are one of the places where we are not told the earthly reality. We have a heavenly symbol, but no earthly reality. That is not a way of telling us we should take the symbol literally. Any more than what we got here, actually, we're not people, we're a golden lampstand. Well, we are people. And the beast is actually a weird lion and leopard. He's not, he's a man who's arrogant and powerful. So, in the trumpets we are given, we are not given the earthly reality. which means that the symbolic meaning is the most important thing for us to know. We need to know the spiritual reality that explains life on earth. We don't need to know how this will actually look on earth. Look around you. Life. We know what this actually looks like on earth. What we don't know is what the spiritual reality is that's behind it. That's what the trumpets are giving us, and quite a bit of Revelation does that. So we need to know what explains what we see here on earth. And if we look at the trumpet judgments that way, they are actually not very hard to figure out. So what is actually going to happen and in what order? This is, you're listening to the wrong preacher. Somebody else will probably tell you that. I don't know, and I don't think that's the point. The point is what explains what's going on in the world. So the seven trumpets, like the seals, describe this whole age. This was to help first century churches, and it helps us the same way. The seventh trumpet takes us right to the end, where God has come to earth. It takes us right to the very end. These seven trumpets cover this whole age between the comings of Christ. All right, they are the trumpet judgments. Here's the first of three main points. They are answered prayers for judgment. God judges the world because his people pray that God will make the world right. Back in Revelation 5, there were 24 elders, and each one of them had a bowl full of incense. We were told this bowl full of incense they worshiped the Lamb with is the prayers of God's people. So each bowl is full of God's prayers. In Revelation 6, in the fifth seal, under the incense altar were the souls of those who had been killed because of Christ. And here we find out what they're praying. This is what they're praying in heaven. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of earth and avenge our blood? That is the prayer that is going on. How long till you make this right? Why won't you make this right? Why won't you judge evil and defend your people? Why won't you make this right? How long till you make it right? They're saying that in heaven. That's the prayer that's going on before the incense. Now, let's read the beginning of the trumpets in chapter 8, verse 2. The beginning of the trumpets, chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the incense altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. So in the seals, it was just the martyrs who were praying, those who had been killed for Christ. Now all God's people are praying, and that's what's this incense. With the prayers of all God's people, on the golden incense altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. So in front of where God is, the atmosphere is thick with the prayers of God's people. It's smoke. He can't avoid it. It's in his face. He's hearing it. The incense is going into his nose all the time. This is steady. It's a big fire. There's lots of incense. There are lots of prayers. And the prayer is, how long till you judge evil and defend your people and make this place right? Heaven is full of that prayer. The smoke of the incense, verse 4, together with the prayers of God's people, went up from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, the incense altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. So incense is burning, there's lots of fire, and then the angel takes all that stuff and throws it on earth. That's God answering prayer. Okay? That's God answering prayer. It's a remarkable picture there. The first trumpet was hail and fire hurled to earth. The second trumpet is a huge mountain burning with fire thrown into the sea. The third trumpet, a great star, is like a blazing torch fall from the sky. Don't picture these things actually happening. This is a figurative picture. But the point is that God is responding to the prayers of His people. And lots of the things that we see are judgments from God specifically in response to the prayers of His people. He is answering the prayers to bring justice to earth. You see, when we ask God to make the world right, we just mean our own lives. God, make my life right. Or my brother and sister, make their life right. I'm actually not worried about the whole world right now. God, I have my own troubles. God hears all that. He's kind to us. But Revelation, He's got a bigger plan. He wants this whole place fixed. And that way our problems will also be fixed. But He's got a bigger plan than your troubles and mine, which frustrates me sometimes. But I'm telling you, that's the way He operates. So He's got a big plan. And so, God, what is God doing when we pray to Him and in these troubles? God is hearing prayers to make everything right. And He's busy. And He's acting. And the judgments are coming and they're all partial, hoping that people will turn. And He's trying to wake up the whole world and He's bringing it to judgment, and He's in the process of bringing justice to earth and defending His people. That's what all this stuff means. The program is moving along nicely, to understand, if you can look at this from God's side. The program is moving nicely. So that's the first thing. God is answering our prayers for justice and to defend His people. The second thing about the seven trumpets is they are plagues as on the Egyptians. So this is a common theme in Revelation. Back, so Moses is at the burning bush, and God meets him, and God hears the people's prayers. This is how the Exodus starts. I have seen the misery of my people Israel. I have heard them crying out because of the slave drivers. The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. He sees our misery. He hears our prayers. We don't think so because the Israelites in Egypt did not think so. But God says, yes, I am. So what God was doing in the Exodus, when He sent those 10 plagues on Egypt, He was rescuing His people from their enemies. And so to whatever extent this chaotic world represents the plagues of Egypt, God is rescuing us. Did Israel fear the plagues? No. The plagues were good news. The plagues were good news. They worried about the Egyptians. They did not worry about the plagues. The plagues were God rescuing His people from oppression. The Egyptians could have turned and stopped hardening themselves against God at any time. But the plagues are not bad news for God's people. Any more than that fire being thrown to earth is bad news for God's people. This is God answering prayers and bringing us to rescue us. That's what's going on here. This is not something to fear. And so, the second plague talks about a third of the sea turned into blood. So that should ring a bell. Where does water get turned into blood in the Bible? There's only one place. It's the first plague in Exodus. Moses aims his rod over the Nile River and it turns to blood. But every one of the six plagues every one of the first six trumpets has a clear reference to the plagues in Egypt. The first trumpet was hail and fire mixed with blood. Hail and terrible lightning was one of the plagues on Egypt. The second trumpet has one third of the sea turned into blood. That happened in Egypt. The third trumpet has the rivers and springs spoiled from drinking. That was part of the plagues in Egypt. The fourth trumpet brings darkness. That was one of the plagues in Egypt. The fifth trumpet brings those horrible demonic locusts, which was also locusts were one of the plagues in Egypt. The sixth trumpet brings death, the death of the oldest. And so death is also one of the plagues. So all of this, the Exodus plagues, hail and lightning, which is hail and fire, water turned to blood, rivers and springs spoiled from drinking, darkness, locusts, death. So can you picture us, the believers, God's people, as Israelites living in Egypt, pleading with God to get us out of here? That's how we're supposed to see this stuff. That's what the trumpets are doing. So put yourself in a world where God is doing that. It's hard to believe, but that's really what's going. He is answering our prayers to make the world a better place, and he's sending plagues as part of bringing us to the promised land. That's what this, that's what the meaning is behind these trumpets. And one more thing, God remembers his covenant. The meaning of thunder and lightning and rumblings and earthquake. This is another Exodus theme. So this ancient story of God leading the Israelites out of Egypt, we're in that. Revelation wants to tell us that we're in that. That's our place. And God is in the process of getting us out of there. And covenant is a part of that. We are covenant people. We had that in our Lord's Supper this morning. So this is back to Exodus again. When God was making the covenant with Israel, he came down on the top of the Mount Sinai, and there were these four things. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was loud sounds, and the mountain quaked. That's all mentioned right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. That's all mentioned at the beginning of the Ten Commandments and at the end. So, when we think thunder, lightning, rumblings, earthquake, it sounds like God's angry. He's not angry. He's making a covenant with Israel. When he comes to the top of the mountain, all that stuff happens. But he's just saying, I'm here. I'm a real God. Don't take me lightly. This is the God you're covenanting with. But he's not angry at them. He's not there to judge them. He's actually basically there to, like, get married to them. He's going to bind himself to them. They're going to bind themselves to him. They need to know what this God is like. And so at the beginning and at the end of the Ten Commandments, you have all this stuff on the top of the mountain. Thunder, lightning, loud sounds, and the mountain quaked. Okay, so that's the covenant God. Now, Revelation chapter 4, when John first comes into heaven, this is chapter 4, verse 5, and he sees God's throne. He says, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. So this stuff is pouring out of God's throne in heaven. He's not angry. This is not judgment. This is the covenant God. And it's another way of saying that God on the throne is the same one that was on the top of Mount Sinai that binds himself to his people. It's just a sign that the covenant God is present. So now, Revelation verse 8, chapter 8, verse 5, very beginning of the seven trumpets, Revelation 8, 5. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So the angel is throwing this fire to the earth, and he's obeying the covenant God, the God who bound himself to us and who binds us to himself. And so he's answering prayers. So in all three of these pictures, that the incense is God answering our prayers to make the world right and defend your people. How long till you make the world right and defend your people? And the degree to which the seven trumpets imitate the plagues on Egypt means that we are being treated the way the Israelites were, and we are being brought into a better place. There's a big program here. I mean, life wasn't fun for the Israelites, but they did not fear the plagues. They didn't happen to them. The plagues happened to the Egyptians, not to the Israelites. They were spared all the nasty stuff. The plagues did not scare them. The Egyptians scared them, but not the God and not the plagues. He was rescuing them. And the third thing is that God is a covenant God, and we have all these sounds at the beginning. Oh, I didn't read the end. Chapter 11, verse 19. This is the very end of the seventh trumpet. And we get the same covenant God again at the end of the seventh trumpet. So we had it at the beginning and at the very end. 11:19. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and with his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. Okay, this is the covenant God. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a hailstorm. I don't know what the hailstorm's doing in there. But anyway, the point is God's opening his temple so we can see the Ark of the Covenant. So, when we trust in Jesus, he's the new covenant sacrifice, we are bound to God and God binds us to himself. God takes covenant loyalty very seriously. When he binds himself to people and he binds them to him, he takes that very seriously. His fussiness about marriage comes because when God binds himself to somebody, there's no fooling around. They are bound to him, and he's bound to them. That's the way it works with God. And so we are God's covenant people because we have trusted in Christ. And so all of these pictures of what's going on here in the seven trumpets show that he's for us, and he's doing stuff, and he's got a worldwide plan, and it's coming along nicely. He's the loyal, faithful God. He's answering our prayers to judge evil and defend his people. He's sending plagues to get us out of oppression and into the promised land. And he remembers that he's bound to us. He is the faithful covenant God. And he is hard at work doing all that stuff and living that out. And we're sort of blind to the program because we're in trouble. And life isn't nice as it was not for the Egyptians. And John says in chapter 1, your brother in the trouble and kingdom and endurance that are in Jesus. So, it's not quite as quick a fix as we were hoping for, but there's real encouragement here and all these things. And so these things have been happening this whole age. The first century churches, these trumpets were to help them make sense of their crazy hostile world, and they still make sense of our crazy hostile world. I'm not going to go through the seventh seal. You can take a look at it. Chapter 11, verse 14, it starts there. But basically, the seventh seal takes us right to God. Well, we'll do a little bit here. Verse 15. 11:15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, seated on their thrones before God, fell on their faces and worshiped God. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. So that's it. Now God is reigning. Did you notice what they called God? The one who is and the one who was. He used to be something else. He's the God who is, and the God who was, and the God who's coming. But they dropped the coming. Do you know why? He's come. It's too late to call him the coming God. By the seventh seal, he's arrived. You have, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. You have taken your power. You have begun to reign. So God has actually shown up on earth. This is very a summary kind of approach. But he is not the God who's coming because at that point, because he has come. So you don't need to say that anymore. He's the God who is and was, and he's here. He's here. What is God doing? He is hearing our prayers to judge the world and defend his people. And he's working on it. The prayers ring in his ears. The prayer smoke of the incense is always in his face and in his nose. And he's in action, moving things along. And he's hearing our prayers like he heard Israel's prayers in Egypt. He's using the plagues now to bring us out and to get us out there. So if we can understand, one of the pictures that God is giving us here is that we are like the Israelites in Egypt. And the troubles in the world are like God sending plagues on the Egyptians. And he's the covenant God, and he remembers that through the blood of Jesus, we are bound to him, and he is bound to us, and he never forgets that. He's working hard at it. So, God wanted to encourage the seven churches with these things. And he'd like to encourage us in the same way. And so, our part in this, worship God. Worship the Lamb. Don't be steered. Don't lose heart. Be faithful. The seven trumpets do not bring happiness into the world, but basically it is good news for us because God is hard at work. He's working harder than we thought and harder than it looks. Amen.